Good morning. The reading this morning can be found on page 36, I think. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. How's everyone doing? I've never preached next to food before. I might get slightly distracted. Am I okay on the microphone at the moment? Sorry, I've got multiple microphones and multiple Bibles. Seriously, I come from Westminster, where our centre is not doing anything like as much as you guys. So I want to say, first of all, well done. And actually, could I have a massive round of applause for Winnie for what she's doing at the moment? It's absolutely incredible. So, perhaps that was the first time you ever heard that Bible reading, or perhaps, like me, you've heard it multiple times, this story of Jacob wrestling with God. And you go away from that story thinking, "Yeah, I'm going to wrestle with God. I'm going to wrestle with him. I'm going to grab hold of him. I'm going to gain his favor." And Sunday afternoon, you're incredibly keen. And then Monday morning, you wake up and think, "How do I apply that into my day-to-day life? If an angel walks in the room, do I just jump on them and then wrestle them to the ground? But other than that, how do I wrestle with God? How do I grapple with God and gain his blessing?" And actually, as I was praying for you guys, as I was preparing for this message, I came across an example in Scripture where the prophet Hosea actually applies this story for us into our Monday morning setting. And that's what I'm going to do. So if you want to turn to Hosea chapter 12, which, that's a fun one in the Bible, find Hosea quick. It's just after Daniel. It's on page 908 of your Bibles. I'm going to read it. So Hosea 12, verse 1 to verse 6. I'll just read it and comment as I go along. Hosea chapter 12, page 908. It says this: "Ephraim," which are the people of God, "Ephraim feeds on the wind. He pursues the east wind all day and multiplies lies and violence. He makes a treaty with Assyria and sends olive oil to Egypt. The Lord has a charge to bring against Judah. He will punish Jacob according to his ways." Now, it's interesting what's just happened here. Hosea has referred to the people of God by their names, by Ephraim and Judah, but then he's called them a name. He's called them by their nickname, which they'd been referred to throughout the Old Testament. He's called them a name, and whenever you call someone a nickname, there's always a connotation attached to it, isn't there? There's always something that you think about. My sister calls me Andrew, but she also calls me Stretch, because I look like Stretch Armstrong in his less attractive form. So whenever my sister calls me Stretch, there's always a slightly negative connotation attached to it. Calling the people of God Jacob in this context is far more negative. Because if you know anything about Jacob's life, he grew up as a bit of a scoundrel. And we're going to find out a bit more. So go back to it. Still reading through. It says, he will punish Jacob according to his ways and repay him according to his deeds. In the womb, he, Jacob, grasped his brother's heel. I don't know if you know, but the name Jacob means grabber. It means Jacob's early life was epitomized by someone who grabbed at stuff that wasn't his in order to try and be blessed. He was lying, he was deceitful, he would cheat in order to get ahead. And you can see what Hosea is doing here. He's saying, Israel, you're acting like that. You're multiplying lies and violence, it says. You're going against God. You're trying to grab after stuff that's not yours in order to try and be blessed. And you're not listening to God. So this is an insult straight away from Hosea to Israel. Look what you're doing. You're being deceitful. You're going the wrong way in order to try and be blessed. And you're going about it the wrong way. You're bypassing God in order to try and gain a blessing. But Hosea then brings in a word of hope. He says, listen to me. Jacob grew up. Jacob matured. Jacob learned his lesson and actually suddenly learned how to gain the blessing from God. And Hosea is clearly saying to Israel, you do the same. Grow up, he's saying. So then we go now down to the next bit. It says this, Jacob, as a man, struggled with God. He struggled with the angel and overcame him. He wept and begged for his favor. He found him at Bethel and talked with him there. The Lord God Almighty, the Lord is his name. You see what Hosea is doing here? He's saying to Israel, look, Jacob grew up. Jacob learned that rather than grabbing hold of stuff that's not yours in order to try and be blessed, you need to grab hold of God and wait for the blessing. You need to wrestle with God. You need to fight with God. And then the amazing thing, and that's what I'm speaking about today, he gives us a Monday morning application for what it means to wrestle with God. If you look here in verse 6, in the NIV it says but I think the better translation is so, and this is why it is a direct application for us. Hosea says this, so you, people of Israel, so you, All Saints Peckham, so you, Andy, at the front, so you must return to God and maintain love and justice and wait for your God always. Now this word, maintain, is an amazing one. If you look at the Hebrew word behind it, you see it translated into various different ways across the Old Testament. This word maintain also means to care for, to look after, to nurture, to preserve. And actually my favorite way of using this word and understanding it is in verse 12 of our passage. So chapter 12, verse 12, it's used in reference to tending or guarding sheep. So I've brought two friends with me to help me illustrate this point. I've brought love and I've brought justice. These are our two sheep for the day. My wife, Sian, absolutely hates cuddly toys, so this was a big sacrifice for her. Letting me... Oh no, he's turning the wrong way. That's all right. This is love, and this is justice. And Hosea is saying, it is your job. It is Israel's job. It is the people of God's job to guard love and justice with your lives. To continually look after them, to continually nurture them, to care for them, to never let them out of your sight. Love and justice must be within your walls, within the people of God. It is your job to guard love and justice with your life. And the reason is because these two cannot look after themselves. In this world, love and justice will not look after themselves. In the original creation that God made and said was very good, and then in the final recreation of the new heavens and the new earth that God is bringing us into, love and justice will be absolutely fine. They'll be dancing around the fields. They'll be singing, maybe not. They'll be frolicking everywhere they go. They will be absolutely fine. In the perfect world that God plans, love and justice will prevail. But in our present age, and I think every single one of us knows this, if you just turn on your news at any point in the day, we know that love and justice do not look after themselves. You look away for a second and then they're wandering across the field, chewing on some poisonous plant. Or you don't prepare the fences well enough and there's lions and tigers and bears that can get in and destroy love and justice. And that's why Hosea is saying to us, you need to guard these. You need to look after them. You need to maintain them. And what does that mean for us? Every single person here, anyone that follows Jesus, it means that this isn't easy. Wrestling with God is not an easy thing to do. It takes effort. And Jesus says this. Jesus tells us, doesn't he, that the way to be blessed is to walk the narrow path. He says, every time we wake up in the morning, there is a wide path that is easy and comfortable and leads to destruction. Or there is a narrow path that leads to life and joy. And it says, Jesus is really telling us, have you ever, walking next to a park, you've got the large area of grass, and then you've got the wide path, and then in between the wide path and the grass, you've got that narrow curb. And if you're a child or just childish like me, you make every effort to walk along this curb while everyone else is just sensibly walking along the path. And you're trying to balance, and you're trying to put every effort into staying on this path. And it requires a lot more concentration, a lot more balance, and a lot more effort. And Jesus says, walking the narrow path is just like that. It takes more concentration. It takes more effort. It requires more of a balancing act every single day in order to walk this narrow path and to guard love and justice. It's not an easy thing to do. But it's worth it. The sad thing in this story, in this passage that we read, is that Israel had decided to walk the wide path. They had decided to take the easy route in life. If you look at chapter 12, verse 1, it says that instead of hungering after righteousness and striving to be peacemakers in the world, they had multiplied lies and deception and violence in order to get their own way. They had decided, to get what I want, I'm going to use the wrong means to get there. And I think actually for us, even though it's thousands of years on, and we've progressed in various different ways, it's just as easy to resort to the wrong means to try and gain the blessing. Think about it at work. It's often easier to just go along with the acceptable office lie. If your boss asks you to tell a half-truth, or if it helps to get higher in your workplace by cheating slightly, it's often easier to go that way, isn't it? Because so often in our workplaces, if justice isn't guarded, actually if you stand up for doing the right thing in various different settings, people can come against you. People don't like it. It's light shining in darkness. And actually, you might get pushback. And it's difficult to walk the narrow path every day when culture would tell you to go a different way. It's similar as well. I find if I want to get what I want quickly, it's often easier to get it by being harsh with someone or snapping at someone, or being angry with someone, or threatening, or domineering, in order to try and get them to do what I want them to do a little bit quicker. rather than showing them the steadfast love of God, patience and endurance and forgiveness and kindness. It says that Israel also, in chapter 12, verse 1, had decided to go into alliance with the two big superpowers of their day, Assyria and Egypt. They were trying to appease them to stay safe. And God had told Israel, do not trust in anyone else other than me for your safety and security. But Israel had thought, yeah, this is self-preservation. This is us looking after ourselves. God won't mind. Just making sure in case God doesn't come through on his promises, we are going to invest in Assyria and Egypt just to keep ourselves safe. And I find this all too easy in my life. Simon Sinek, a brilliant TED speaker and writer, said at a conference recently, he observed, isn't it tragic if you walk into a bookshop anywhere in London, there is a massive section on self-help. There's hardly anything on helping others. That's because it's so much easier in our lives to invest in ourselves rather than invest in others. It's so much easier to keep rather than to give. It's so much easier to put ourselves first rather than God and others. It's so much easier to look after me first. I'm number one, self-preservation, and then maybe I'll look after someone else afterwards. All of this was because Israel had bought into the lie that if I'm safe and my life is easy and comfortable, that is a sign of God's blessing. Chapter 12, verse 8. We're wealthy, we're rich. Hey, who could possibly poke their finger at our sin? That's the dilemma that Israel have found themselves in. And Hosea is shouting to them, wake up. I found this quote from a guy called Glenn Scrivener. He's written a brilliant book that I would recommend giving to any non-Christian who's looking at exploring the Christian faith. It's called 3-2-1. It's wonderful. And he says this in it. He says, in following Jesus, there are no promises of earthly riches or easy living. In fact, Jesus leads us into a suffering world to engage with it more, not less. Whilst most people spend their lives keeping back, filling up, and clinging on, Jesus teaches us to press in, to pour out, and to give away. The way of Jesus is not a trouble-free existence. Far from it. But Jesus does promise that in giving ourselves away, we will truly find ourselves. In giving ourselves away, we will truly find ourselves. Jesus says, walking the narrow path, guarding love and justice on Monday morning and every day of our lives, as individuals and a community, is not easy. But man, it's worth it. The narrow path is the path that leads to life and joy and blessing and eternal rewards. That's how we lay treasure up in heaven. It is by walking this narrow path. And the blessings that come from walking the narrow path are eternally fruitful. You've just heard it today from these guys. It's very similar as the disciples. Jesus had large crowds following him. But many of them left when things got difficult. When Jesus said difficult things or he went into difficult situations, many of them abandoned him. But those closest to him found that they couldn't. They couldn't abandon him. They couldn't walk away because the more they got of Jesus, the more they wanted of Jesus. And you've heard it from the mouths of these guys at the front. The more they are experiencing God's work in people's lives, the more they want. It's this incredible blessing. And then we've got this amazing bit in Romans 5 that it says, even when stuff gets hard, you're going to bear fruit. It says suffering produces endurance. And then endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope will never put you to shame. Even in the hard times, even when it gets difficult, God is invested in you. He's going to bear fruit in your life that will last for eternity. But I don't want to just say that it will benefit your life as an individual. But walking the narrow path is where lives get changed. It's where lives get transformed. It's where lives get saved. It's where communities get turned around. And I'm excited to see this. I haven't seen it yet. A video of someone in your midst, I think maybe he's coming to the evening service, whose life has been transformed because of the hard work of these guys. So if the video team are ready, I'll sit down and we can watch the story of Clive.
Well, I was in debt, you know, and I was subbing off of my boss. One day, when she said to me, Clive, this is becoming an habit, things are getting out of hand. I said, things are out of hand. She brought me in the office and she said, come on, Clive, talk to me. I want to help you. I thought, how can you help me, you know? She went into her drawer and took out this little card and she put it in front of me like that. And she's gone, found these people, and I've looked at and I've seen CAP written in green and Christians Against Poverty, and I thought, what's God going to pay my bill for me? That's what I thought. What's he going to pay my bill for me? And she looked at me and she said, Clive, come on. Found these people, and I'm going, what are they going to do for me? And, you know, she just looked at me, and she knew I wasn't going to do it, so she grabbed the phone, she dialed the number, and she pushed the phone in my hands, and she said, tell them what's going on in your life. I just started going, help me, I'm broke, I've got no money, you know, everyone's after me, you know what I mean? And the geezer must have just went, bang, hit the red button and said, he needs help. Winnie came around to me. Yes, she did. She did, and I got very emotional. She made me cry, gave me a hug, and said, see you later. Walked off. She said, don't worry about a thing. I thought, don't worry about a thing. But I was still getting letters, you know, bailiffs are coming around and stuff like that. She told me what I needed to get. I needed to get certain documents together so they could mull over them and stuff like that. And, you know, she come back and I got most of the stuff. But, you know, the paper... My paperwork was all over the place, and took a couple of weeks to get it all together. And once I got it all together, things really did start to happen. Where does my help come from? Well, I'm debt free, and you know I can sleep at night. You know, before I wasn't sleeping, and to be quite honest, you know, there was a time I was drinking a lot as well. You know, but things have really changed. Thank God. You know? I suppose it's always been there in me, you know, but I lost my way. The first time I come to church, the peace and everything that I felt brought tears to my eyes, you know? You know, I'd tell them to get in touch with CAP, and you know, if you need to find peace, find it in the Lord.
Just give everyone a sec to dry your eyes. My wife is crying. So how do we do it? How do we maintain love and justice? How do we walk the narrow path that leads to life? Well, the first step along that path is remembering where you came from. Remember where you came from. One of the least helpful things that people say to me when I tell them, oh, I work for a debt counseling charity, is they say, oh, you're such a good person. Because the danger is I start to believe that. I start to think that God was looking down for heaven and saying, oh, I need some good work doing. Let's look for some good people. There's one. And I get, you can, when you do this kind of stuff, the danger is pride creeps in. It creeps in your door and jumps on you in the morning. And it helps that Hosea refers to Jacob. Jacob, if anyone in the Bible, is an image of God's grace. He was a scoundrel. He was a scumbag. He was not a good person. He was not lovable in any way, and yet God loved him. Every single morning, I have to remind myself before pride jumps on my face, I am a saved person. I am a redeemed person. I am restored. I am forgiven. I am a recipient of God's grace, and that's it. The place you start on this journey of walking the narrow path is at the foot of the cross, recognizing your need, not for your own goodness, that's not good enough, recognizing your need for Jesus' goodness. God's goodness poured out over you at the cross in his forgiveness, where you come before him and put your trust in him. Every single day, you rely on the gospel of grace. That's step number one. Step number two is return to God. It's no good walking along the wide path, recognizing that you've walked along the wide path, looking back going, oh yeah, that's challenging, that's interesting, and carrying on walking. We have to return to God, it says in this passage. We have to go back. It might require changing parts of our lifestyle. If you want to start giving more away, either time or money or energy or prayers, then you might have to change your lifestyle so that you spend less on yourself. We might have to adjust the way that we live, the way that we speak to people, the way that we spend our time. All of this will need to change. Jesus calls us to the cross-shaped life. That is the life of walking this narrow path. It's not easy, like I said, but it's worth it. Because of the treasures that are stored up in heaven, the blessings that come to us now, the second step is returning to God. Change parts of your lifestyle. Change the way that you spend your time and your money so that you can give more away. The third one is this. Guard the sheep. These sheep get dirty. They get smelly. They get fleas, they get ill, and so does Winnie. Sorry. I was waiting for this. So do all of these people. These are people, the people who tend to do this will tend to put on a brave face and say, yeah, everything's good. But it is hard. It's hard what they're going through, and they need your support. It was said earlier, pray for them, encourage them, take them for coffee, tell them that they're doing well. Be there alongside them. Bless them in whatever ways you possibly can to help restore them and keep them going in this journey. That's something everyone can do, no matter how much time you do or don't have. You can always send a text to one of them while you're on the toilet or something like that. It's all an encouragement to these guys. And then the final point, so if the band want to come up, the final point is this. Keep on going. Keep going, it says. It says, wait continually for God. It says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They will go into a new house this week with fear and trepidation, and this feeling of the weight on their shoulders as they go into a new environment, but God will be there with them. This is my encouragement to everyone who's currently doing this. Keep going. You're doing a fantastic job, and you're blessing and changing lives in this community. If God hasn't given up on the expansion of his kingdom, let's not give up as well. Can I pray for us and pray for these guys, and then we'll go into worship? Father, we thank you so much that when you looked down and saw not a good person on the planet, that didn't mean that you gave up. In fact, you gave up your son to us to come and meet us in our darkness, in our place of need. In our sinfulness, you paid our debt, the debt we could never pay. Father, I pray, would you stir our hearts, all of us in this room, to want to therefore maintain love and justice wherever we go, to guard love and justice, to never let them out of our sight, to fight for this stuff that really matters. And I pray for your strength to be upon anyone who's doing this work, to keep them going, to give them the strength that is supernatural, beyond comprehension, and to know the love of God that will never fail. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.